Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right, hey, if you brought a Bible or you got a Bible on your phone, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. That's where we're going to be living at today. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is where we're starting. While you're going to 2 Corinthians 8, I want to welcome you to Lighthouse. My name's Fritz. I'm one of the pastors here. Super glad every one of you are here, especially every one of us. Man, you braved the loss of an hour, and you're here with joy, looking forward to the eternal time with the Lord one day in the future, where there is no time change in heaven, right? So that's good. Also want to welcome everybody that's joining us at Lighthouse Online. We're so glad that you are with us today, and I'm wondering, hey, family here in the house, can we just welcome our family who's online and let them know that we're really glad that they're with us today? Wherever you're joining us from, thank you guys for joining us and being here today. Okay, today we are talking about money. Yeah, I was not ready for that response, right? Yeah, hey, you know, listen, sometimes when we start talking about that topic, people, you know, man, they'll get defensive, you know, kind of the eye roll might be going on, arms might get crossed and go, oh, I knew it, here it is, finally, you know, the church, they're here for my money, just give them a second and they'll get there. It doesn't take very long. And I get it, listen, like, I get it. There are some who have taken biblical truth and they've twisted it for their own personal gain. That's a real thing. That happens, right? It's happening still today. There are people who have manipulated the scriptures so that they can turn, you know, talking about money and generosity into something that benefits them and can manipulate other people or for their own advantage. So for some of us, when the church teaches scriptural truth about money, we can get defensive. It's almost to a degree where sometimes we're almost conditioned to become suspicious when a church teaches about money, almost even to just become angry, right? Where you're going, I just knew it. But I would say this, simply because some have misused and manipulated biblical truth about money does not mean that we should talk about it less. Quite frankly, if anything, we should talk about it with great clarity because there are half-truths and mistruths that are out there. And so it's not that we should avoid it, but actually that when we talk about it, we would talk about it with great clarity and lean in. And so when we do that, when we teach about it well, we have the opportunity to correct misunderstandings that are out there. We have the opportunity for the Lord to bring healing to some people who have been deeply hurt by those situations. We have an opportunity to point people to hope in Jesus Christ as opposed to some other response, right? All of that's real when we dive into this teaching. So here's the invitation. I don't know where anybody is on the spectrum, whether you're here today and you're going, oh great, here we go. I knew I should have slept in and not call Monday late savings time. Or you're like whoever it was in the back that just cheered that we're talking about money this morning. I don't know where you are on that spectrum, but here's the invitation. Let's just lean into truth this morning. Can we maybe do that and see what God has to say through the scriptures really, really plainly? That's the plan. That's the goal. So we're going to jump right in. I'm going to pray real quick, and then we're going to get into our teaching. God, we want to thank you that by faith, we can become your children. We don't have to be lost and wandering. We don't have to be enemies. We can be sons and daughters, heirs, co-heirs with Christ. And that changes everything. And so we pray that this morning your spirit would bring clarity, would bring truth, where perhaps there's fuzziness, muddiness, maybe even hurt in anger, that you would bring healing through the gospel today. We pray these things with a great anticipation this morning through the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen, amen. Okay, hey, we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're going to start right in verse 1 and read through the next few verses. Here's what it says. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, speech, and knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here's my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were first not only to give, but also to have. So now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you're hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality, as it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Now, let me walk through just really quickly what Paul is doing here. Is he's written a letter to his friends, believers in the city of Corinth, and he is saying, listen, I want to invite you to participate in giving towards ministry. Right? And so this was financially giving towards ministry to believers in Jerusalem. And so he's writing this letter, this portion of this letter, inviting them to do that. And what he says in verse 7, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 says this, but since you excel in everything, right? And then he lists out, he goes, you excel in faith, you excel in speech, you excel in love, you excel in understanding and complete earnestness, the same way that you would excel in these areas. Excel in the grace of giving. Now, what's interesting about this word excel is, you know, it's refusing to stop at good enough, right? You know when you've hit good enough. And excel says, no, I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to stop at good enough. I'm actually going to go beyond good enough. I'm going to increase. I'm going to keep growing. That's what excelling looks like. You know what excelling is? It's the kid who's on the basketball team who he already or she already knows that they're the best player on the team, and everybody recognizes it. And even though they're the best on the team, they still show up early before practice to work on things, and they stick around late working on their foul shots after everybody else is gone. Why? Because they want to excel. They don't want to just be good enough. They're not satisfied with being just the best. They want to keep growing. They want to keep increasing. That's what excelling is. And what Paul says, he goes, I want you to consider the Macedonians. Okay? Now, for us, we might not know who the Macedonians are. But the Macedonians, this is a group of churches that were just north of Corinth. So this would have been like Thessalonica and Berea, Philippi. And he says, listen, look at the Macedonians. You have to understand, these are very, very poor people. He says that right in the portion that we read, right? They're in extreme poverty. Not only in extreme poverty, they're also facing severe trials. They've got issues going on, man. People pressing back. And so there's a level that the argument that Paul is making, if there's anybody who we would all understand and go, they should be tight-fisted. They should be close-handed. They should be focusing on themselves right now with the things that they're going through. And yet, he says, they are overflowing with generosity, right? In fact, he says they gave as they were able, and not only that, they gave beyond. And they came to Paul when he shared that there was an opportunity. He said they actually begged him for the privilege to give. Wow. That is a very different way of looking at generosity. Not as an obligation, not as, well, I guess I got to pay it forward at some point. They saw giving, they saw generosity as a privilege to join in. And Paul says, they exceeded even my expectations. I had an idea of what I thought they might give, but they went beyond. Why? Because Paul says they were overflowing with joy. Right? This was not compulsory giving. This was not, well, Paul came and shared a really compelling vision, and you know, he guilted us in enough and he manipulated us enough that we figured, yeah, we should be good people and we should give. No, there's like joy overflowing in them to give. That is excelling in generosity. I couldn't help but, as I was reading through this the last few weeks and praying through it, I couldn't help but, as I'm reading this, going, man, this feels a lot like the Lighthouse community family. And quite frankly, all three of our churches, right? Bluffton Community, Living Hope, these are generous churches. This is a generous church family, right? Not only consistently, you know, giving throughout the year, but I think about the fact that we are sitting in a new building today because of your generosity, because God moved in your hearts to help get us to this place. I was thinking about, you guys remember back in the fall, November of 24, we did this thing called Fill the House, where we set a goal like maybe over 2.5 months, maybe we could raise, and people would give $60,000 to buy additional chairs and equipment for the kids area and student ministry and those types of things, maybe. Do you remember we had to shut that down 3 weeks after it started because this family had given over $96,000? And then when we told you we were done and it was over, you gave an additional $16,000 like after that, right? Like this is a generous church family. And at the same time, if we can kind of pull back the curtain a little bit and be transparent with each other, isn't there times where generosity can be a struggle? Like it's almost like a war within my heart, right? And there's a struggle. Why do I struggle sometimes with generosity? Why is there just something, even though I might have a desire, I might be excited, there's something in the back of my mind that goes, wait a second, right? And I don't know, right? It's there's a lot, probably a lot of different reasons. It could be for some of us, maybe growing up, we were never taught generosity, right? That wasn't something that was a part of our family. Or if nothing else, our families didn't really talk about that. Maybe you've had experiences where you felt like you were taken advantage of, right? You know, people put a smoke and mirror in front of you, and then you found out stuff later, and so put a really bad taste in your mouth. And so you struggle to trust people at this point when it comes to that. Maybe you were taken advantage of, right? And by the way, This kind of wrestling with generosity, it cuts across income levels, right? Like, I know people who don't have a lot of money, and they're some of the most generous people I know. I know some people who have a lot of money, and they're not giving away a dime. And I've seen the reverse. People with lots who are very generous, people with very little, who they're not giving up anything. And so you can't just classify, oh, well, if you're in this economic strata, then you're probably generous. If you're in this, then you're probably not. I don't think it works that way, right? But there's something inside where we struggle with generosity sometimes. And I think some of it is this. Generosity is a huge step of faith with very practical implications. Because what generosity says, I will give away something now, not knowing if I'm going to need that later. That's what the faith is. The faith is giving away something now, and I'm not entirely sure if I'm going to be the one who needs that later. And so if I give it away now, what's going to happen? And what the question that's really being begged behind that is, if I take care of you now, who's going to take care of me later? That's the question behind that, right? If I help you now, and now I've given away the thing that could actually help myself, who's going to help me later? And for a lot of us, I know for me growing up, you know what the answer was? No one. No one. I learned at an early age, and something I wrestled with, is I have to be the one to take care of me because I can't trust anybody else. Maybe that's a lesson you learned at an early age. or at some point in your life where you, right, where you began to like ask that question, if I help you now, who's going to help me later? And the answer is no one. It's on me to take care of me and mine. I remember I was about 10 years old, and I was, you know, not very often at 10 years old, I think you think about the future of your life, but I had a very lucid moment, and I could see a little bit that was going on, and I got very scared about my life. And you know, I was like, oh, I don't want to end up this way. I don't want to be like this, all that kind of stuff. And I remember somebody very, very close to me, somebody who I loved very much, said to me, and the good intentions, they were not trying to do anything wrong or evil. They simply said, Fritz, you can only count on you. You can't count on anyone else. And my 10-year-old brain put that in there and held on to it and never let go. Right? You can only count on you. And I want to tell you this. If you're in that place, right, if you wrestle with that thought and that idea, I want to tell you something very, very plainly, and I'm not intending to be demeaning or argumentative at all. If you operate by the philosophy that I can only count on me, the reason you have that philosophy is because you don't know who God is. Let me say that again, because that's really clarifying, and I want you to catch that. If you live with the mentality that I can only count on me and no one else, you live that way because you don't understand who God is. And for a few minutes, I want to walk through who God is, right? Because what we need to understand, what we need to see with clarity, is that God is generous. God is open-handed. You have to know that. God is generous. God is open-handed. In fact, when you look through history, when you look through the scriptures, you begin to see that it was God who generously gave us life. God, he's not required to create you. He's not required to create me. He chose to do that out of his generosity. And then not only did he create us, but then he does this. Do you know you carry the image of God within you? There is no other aspect of creation all throughout the world, all throughout the universe that carries that unique piece except for humanity. You have the image of God in you because God generously gave that to you. That's what Genesis 1 and 2 are talking about, and it's all about, right? Not only that, but God has generously revealed himself to us through Scripture. Think about that. You can look at creation and have an idea that there's a creator. There's some meaning, there's purpose, there's something greater. Listen, you actually have to, it takes more faith, and you have to intentionally do the work to look at creation and go, yeah, this is random nothingness, right? This just popped up into existence without any kind of forethought or design whatsoever. It takes more faith, and you have to choose that ahead of time rather than, I remember just this weekend I got up, I looked out the window, and man, the sun was starting to come up, and there was like pink and orange and yellow, and I'm looking through my neighborhood, and the trees are just beginning to bud, and I'm going, wow, I'm just taking in creation and going, this is so cool, right? And so you can look at creation and get an idea that there's a God, but that doesn't answer the question completely on who this God is and how to have a relationship with him. That's where Scripture comes in, right? God has revealed to us everything. God has generously revealed to us everything we need to know so that we can have a healthy relationship with him through Jesus Christ, right? Not only that, Paul, in our letter, in verse 15, right, he talks about God generously providing for Israel through the wilderness, right? That's where they gathered a little, and there's people who gathered a little didn't have too little. People who gathered much didn't have too much. Everybody had what they needed. This was when God was leading Israel through the wilderness. There's no resources. There's no water, right? They're just trusting. They're just relying on God, and God is providing for them every day, taking care of them. He generously did that for Israel. This is who God is. In fact, if you look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 through 30, you'll see Jesus talking about this. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 through 30 say this, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." And then check this out. "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you?" And the point there is, if God cares enough to provide for flowers of the field, and they don't carry the image of God in them, how much more can you trust God to take care of you, right? To generously provide for you the things that you need. And so you have to know that God is generous. This is who he is. And in fact, Paul draws our attention to probably the ultimate display of God's generosity, right? It's the ministry of Jesus Christ. So in fact, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, let's do this. Let's actually read this passage out loud together, starting with, "For you know the grace." Are you ready? Go. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty..." And so what Paul is doing in one sentence is he is calling forth the ministry of Jesus Christ. Let me expose you that really quickly, what that is. That, right, so we're created in the image of God, and early on, through Adam and Eve, and then every single one of us as well, we have chosen selfishness, self-focus, and self-centeredness as a way of living, which always creates a barrier and a distance and breaks relationship between us and God, right? That's sin. That's the essence of what sin is. And so, but God's not okay with that. So what does God do? The Father asked the Son to give up the glory and the comfort and the honor of heaven and enter into our world as a human being, okay? The Father asked the Son to do that, and he did. And sometimes we're like, okay, no big deal. Jesus, you know, Jesus came to the earth. God came to the earth. I want you to think about this. The Son is God. And before came to the earth as a person, in every sense of the way, and it still was even after he came to the earth, in every sense of the way, he was God. But think about this. The omnipresent God, the Son, gave up the ability to be everywhere at once and confined himself to this. Right? Think about what Jesus gave. Now, I know this is a great specimen, but, right? but listen, so Jesus gave all that up and he limited himself to a human body. And then not only that, the Son ends up giving up his life. He ends up giving up his life, not peacefully in his sleep, but rather he's brutally tortured and murdered in your place and in my place for sin that he never committed, for sin that we committed. The Son gives up his life. And I have to wonder if there's a moment as Jesus is going through all of this when the question flashes through his mind, if I do this for humanity, who's going to take care of me? If I give up everything, if I give up my life, if I give up all of that, then who's going to take care of me? And even still, the Son chose to trust the Father through death, right? He trusted God. You know, it's actually, in fact, the resurrection of Jesus Christ answers the question, if I give my life for you, who's going to take care of me? The resurrection of Jesus answers that. Because the answer is, God will. Right? God allowed Jesus to give up his life. You know how generous of a gift that is? The Son of God, God himself, died in your place and in my place for something he never did. And the resurrection is the confirmation that God will take care of you. He took care of Jesus. And he's going to take care of me as well. You know, and that's what Paul's pointing to. He's going, listen, Jesus gave up everything, and God gave him everything. He gave him, right, through the resurrection, he gives him life. He gives him victory. He gives him glory. He gives him honor, right? All of that. Jesus gives up everything, and in return, the resurrection shows that God gives him everything. So I want to bring this out because the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have to understand this. This is the thing that opens up the door of God's generosity to everybody. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is what opens up the door of God's generosity to everybody. And what I mean by that is that now everyone who recognizes that life that I count on me alone and nobody else, that is a pitch in the dirt. That is a waste. That is a zero-sum game. It is never going to go well. That people who see that, their eyes are opened by the Holy Spirit. They see their own sin. They see their need for God. And when they give up control of their own life, when they give up counting on themselves alone and instead put all their trust in Christ, those people end up receiving the wealth of Christ. What do I mean by that? I'm not talking about money, and I'm not talking about crowns, and I'm talking, what's the wealth of Christ? The closest relationship with God that you could ever have. That's the wealth of Christ. Do you realize when you say yes to Jesus by genuine faith, God himself takes up residence in your life through the Holy Spirit? You can't get any closer to a person than that. That's the wealth of Christ, right? This is the God who freely gives forgiveness. This is the God who gives life. This is the God who gives his Holy Spirit. This is the God who gives freedom from sin and death, eternal life with him, and so many more things that Scripture describes when we put our faith in him simply because of the work and the generosity of Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us of that in one verse. So the question then becomes, okay, what does all of that have to do with growing in generosity? Because that's where we started, right? Excelling in the grace of giving. And here's what I would say, it's this, that now because of what Jesus has done for you and what Jesus is doing in you, now you can grow in generosity as well. How do you do that? What does it look like? We're going to move through this part pretty quickly because I'd rather you kind of live in this world of thinking about what Jesus did, but there are some other steps within that as well. The first thing I would say is that today, specifically, we are talking about financial generosity. Now, there's lots of other ways to be generous. You can be generous with your time. You can be generous with your skills and your talents. You can be generous with your friendship. You can be generous with the resources that you have. All of that is good and is a part of general generosity. But today, we're kind of focusing on what Paul was talking about, which was financial generosity. And so, if I could tighten that down, and I think what Paul was really talking about is giving to ministry. Right? It's giving in the direction of ministry. And so for us, that would be things like a local church. That might be missions that are both either regionally or internationally. You know, one of the areas that Christina and I give to outside of a lighthouse is to an organization called Fingerprints, which actually supports kids around the world, taking care of basic needs, but also really clearly sharing the gospel with them with the intentions and the hopes that one day the Holy Spirit would lead them to faith. And we're really excited. One of the young girls that we've been supporting for last few years, recently I said yes to Jesus, and so we're really excited about that, and so that's the kind of stuff that I think that we're talking about, right, giving towards things that are really moving in the direction of helping people say yes to Jesus. Now, I want to unpack a little bit of logistic stuff, because when I first came to faith, and when I first came to the church, I didn't know anything about anything. I wasn't raised in the church, I had no background at all. And so I just thought churches existed because they existed, right? And that was it. But I want to tell you, because maybe you're in the same boat that I was. So for Lighthouse Community, we operate solely by your generosity, right? We don't have any grants that come in. We don't have any trust funds. We don't receive anything from a denomination. We don't receive anything from the government. None of that. We operate based on what people here who have been moved by God, who see the vision, and they want to be a part of that through giving. That's how we do what we do, and we don't have any other way that we do it, right? It's God moving in the hearts of people. And the other thing I would say is when you give, 100% of what you give goes towards ministry. We're doing things like buying Bibles. purchasing supplies for Lighthouse Kids and for Lighthouse students and for other areas of ministry. It's going towards us developing resources, right? We're giving away Bible reading plans that we put together. We're going to be talking about that here in just a moment. Those types of things. We're available for things like counseling, training for ministry, all of those types of things. So when you're giving, right, like 100% is going towards ministry. And when you give, you're actually a part of helping people say yes to Jesus, right? Like you have a role in that. You have a part in that. And so what I would want to say is this, man, thank you. Thank you. On behalf of our church family, on behalf of people who are saying yes to Jesus for the very first time, on behalf of 11 people who were baptized just a few weeks ago, thank you, right? Like we're a part of that. When we're giving to that, we are a part of all those things. And so when we're talking about financial generosity, that's what we're talking about in the context of Lighthouse Community. So how do we grow in generosity? I would say this, four ways very, very quickly. The first one is this. You got to give yourself to Jesus first. Give yourself to Jesus first. You remember the Macedonians that Paul was talking about? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, he says this, that they exceeded our expectations, and then it says this, they gave themselves first of all to the Lord. That's the starting place if you're going to grow in generosity. You give yourself to Jesus first. If you have not experienced the generosity of Jesus Christ for your own life, you cannot genuinely grow in generosity because you're trying to now give something back that you haven't received, right? And so saying yes, putting your faith in Jesus, receiving forgiveness, not by any work of your own, right? You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. You can't give enough money and you can buy citizenship into heaven, right? There's no gold card you can purchase to get into heaven, anything along those lines. It's only received as a gift through faith in Jesus Christ, right? So you have to give yourself to Jesus first because you have to experience God's generosity before you can give away God's generosity. Here's the second way if you're going to grow. Let God's generosity awaken your own. Let God's generosity awaken your own. How do you do that? I think it's this. It's reflecting and meditating on God's generosity to you through Jesus Christ. Really letting that overwhelm me. And if there was a passage that I would encourage you to start with, it would be 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. And in fact, this is a great verse to memorize. It's pretty short too, so it's easy to memorize. But let's read this one out loud together, starting with "We love." Are you ready? Go. "We love because," yeah. So now we're talking about what Pastor Matt talked about last week. We don't love so that God will love us. We love because he loved us first. It's the same thing with generosity. We don't give so that God will give to us. We are generous because God has already been so generous to us. And so simply letting God's generosity awaken your own. In fact, so we have developed what we're calling a three-day generosity Bible meditation guide. And so that's on your Blue Connection card. It should also be on the online card as well. If you want to receive that, it's brief. There's really good passages in there. By the way, 1 John 4:19 is in there too. That's a really great resource. If you're going, man, I would love to kind of grow and see what Scripture says about generosity, you can request that. We will send that to you tomorrow morning if your email is on the front of here. And listen, while you're doing that, don't resist, because as you're being transformed by Jesus and the Holy Spirit, as God is awakening generosity within you, don't resist these new desires that the Spirit puts in your life, right? I grew up naturally suspicious, naturally self-centered, naturally resisting giving stuff away because I didn't have a ton when I was growing up. So I was like, I got to keep what's mine. And I would start to notice like the Holy Spirit move my heart to generosity. And I found, even still today, after walking with Jesus for like 26 years, that when the Spirit puts like momentum in my life to give generously, I have to move quick. Why? I can rationalize that away really quickly, right? When God says, hey, Fritz, I want you to give X. And I go, okay. And then I'm like, well, let me pray about it some more. You know, I had a friend recently go, hey, when's the last time Satan tempted you to be generous? I was like, oh, that's a really good question, right? And so for me, there's times when God moves my heart, I got to move now, because if not, I'll rationalize away and tell and remind God why it's a bad idea. And I have to take care of me because I can't trust anybody else, right? Here's the third one. This is far more about identity than following a command. When we're talking about generosity, this is far more about identity than about following a command. Paul is not talking about giving out of obligation. When you read through those verses, you see things like this. People were eager to give. People were willing to give. People were excited to give. People were moved to give. And he even says, I am not commanding you. This is not about a command. This is about identity. This is giving that's led by your identity in Christ. This is giving that is a response to God's generosity in your life. And the Spirit is growing you, and the Spirit is moving you to reciprocate based on the character of God and based on my identity in Christ, right? God is generous, and so of course his kids would grow in generosity as well. And I'm going to give you a little tip or hint. One of the key things, if you go back and you look at Genesis 1:26, and you go back and you look at Genesis 2:15, you will see that part of our identity in Christ is that we are not owners, but rather we are stewards. This is not a word we use very often. You know what a steward is? They're a manager of someone else's resources. Stewards don't own anything. They manage someone else's resources. Do you realize that when we were created and God said, I'm going to put them over all of creation, when he put Adam to work the Garden of Eden, he never gave it to humans to own. We were stewards who would do with God's creation what God wanted done with his creation. And so that's part of the identity of Christ. And if you can let the Holy Spirit lead you to that place, that I'm not an owner, I'm only a steward. And so whatever I have, I'm actually going to the Lord and asking him, God, what would you have me do with your resources you've put in my hands? Right? That's a huge crossover. And if you can do that, man, that's a real pathway to generosity. Here's the last one. Make a plan. Make a plan. Money is a lot like time. If you don't tell your time where to go, it will just leave. You will burn through hours binging a show that you actually don't even like because it just plays the next one. And you're like, well, I'm already invested. I probably ought to just keep going, right? And if you don't tell your money where to go, it will just leave. You're like, what happened? What did I spend this on? If you don't plan to be generous, you probably won't be. But if you develop a plan, if you trust God, if you let him lead you in that, then you probably will. And you'll probably grow in generosity as well. And so you can do things simple like budgeting for it, being ready for it, all those types of things. But I want to tell you, generosity is not about being a better person. It's not about trying to outgive another person next to you or anything along those lines. This is in simply response into what Jesus Christ has already done for us. And we can grow in generosity. And in fact, Scripture tells us we can actually excel. We can not stop at good enough. And we can constantly be growing. We can constantly be increasing. All of those types of things. Generosity can be intimidating. I get that. I'm there too. Sometimes generosity can actually be threatening. But perhaps it's in the moments when generosity threatens me, when generosity intimidates me. It could be in that moment that the Holy Spirit is putting his finger on an area of my life that I'm actually afraid to give over control to the Lord to. And there may be something more about inviting him to show me that, to transform my life, to repent of all those types of things. There's a moment in the ministry of Jesus where he's about to go to the cross and he's in the garden by himself and he's praying and he says, Father, if there is another way to accomplish your will, maybe we could consider that. And then how does he finish that prayer? Not my will be done, but your will be done. You know what he's saying there? I trust you. I trust that you are going to take care of me. That's what that prayer is.
And I want to tell you, you can trust God too. We are not talking about giving out of compulsion, giving out of guilt, giving out of obligation, or giving as a command. But rather, we're talking about generosity that's born out of God's own generosity, experienced in my life. Generosity that's born from joy. Generosity that's seen as a privilege, right? Right, that's what we're talking about. And you have to know that when you step into that, God uses you in remarkable ways, ways that you never imagined that he could. It's a good gift to be able to step into that. So I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes and to ask the question we ask every single weekend, and simply this: Jesus, what are you saying to me right now? And then I want to give you an opportunity to listen to him. God, we do thank you for your overwhelming generosity to us. You are so good. I don't even grasp the depths of how generous you have been to me and to this entire world. And so let us be overwhelmed by your generosity, the generosity of Christ, the generosity of the Holy Spirit, and that would be what leads us in this direction, and nothing else. God, help us to spy out and discern the manipulation, the tricks, all those types of things, and just stiff arm those for what they are. And to just live life in the identity of Christ, to recognize that I'm a steward. I'm a manager. I'm not an owner. And I'm going to look to you to guide me on all of that. I wonder if you would grow us to that kind of a place, we pray. Well, Lighthouse, we want to pray for you. And so let me tell you what's going to happen here. The band's going to come up, and they are going to lead us in one more song. Now, it's not a very long song, but during this song, we're going to have prayer leaders who will be available in the corners of the room. So we'll have one up here on my right by the door. We'll have one over here on my left by the door. And then two will be kind of back in front of the sound booth as well. And they'll have a gray lanyard. Usually bring mine up. I forgot to bring it up this morning. But they'll have a gray lanyard that lets you know that they're a prayer leader and they're happy to pray with you about anything. And so as the band's playing, if you want to pray, you'll just step out of your seat, head to one of those corners, and, you know, just share your name, and, hey, this is what I'm wondering if you would pray for me about this area of my life. And those leaders would absolutely love to pray with you. It is a joy when we get to do that. And so I want to invite you to do that. So if you're here in the house, let's stand as we transition into singing, and then I'm going to pray for you and invite you to come to one of the corners as well. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to receive prayer, don't wait. We would love to pray with you this morning.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.